is your ship and you are the captain. Oh, captain, let's make a deal where we both say the things that we both really feel. I feel scared and I'm starting to sink, and I only sink deeper the deeper I think.
Chapter 19, Weddings and Funerals. When Shang Chenghua told Mo Beijun that he didn't need Shen Qingqiu assassinated, it wasn't because he thought everything would somehow work out if he just sat back and didn't do anything. It definitely wasn't because he was planning a so-called perfect murder and didn't want the demon lord messing up his plans. The problem of Shen Qingqiu has always been a lot more complicated than just get rid of the guy potentially making my nephew's life a living hell. That's why it's a real problem. Everyone would freak the fuck out if Shen Qingqiu died. On the transmigration side of things, the system would probably go haywire over such a deviation as the loss of a required NPC and scramble to compensate. Given the system's previous efforts in creative plot hole patching, Shang Chenghua really doesn't want to see what the system will do next. On the this-is-my-day-in-day-out job and there's no fucking quitting side of things, Qingjing Peak and Changchong Mountain Sect would have to scramble to compensate for the death of a peak lord, master of the second highest peak. All of Shen Qingqiu's fiddly, complicated, extensive education requiring work in all kinds of analysis and advice giving would go tumbling down the ranks like an avalanche, crushing the likes of the already very busy Wei Qingwei and Shang Chenghua and Qi Qingqi most of all. Shang Chenghua honestly doesn't fully understand some of the political shit Shen Qingqiu does, poking and pushing around all sorts of nobles and wealthy figures out there, and doesn't really want to fully understand. Shang Chenghua can also only assume that Yue Qingyuan would become nearly completely unresponsive. So, yeah, even more work. So much work. Wei Qingwei and Shang Chenghua would become co-stand-in sect leaders. Bad! On the this is the actual life I live now, thanks, side of things, Shang Chenghua doesn't actually want Shen Qingqiu dead. He's known the man for decades now. He has grievances with the man. Oh, bro, does he have some fucking grievances. But Shang Chenghua can't throw too many stones in his glass house. Honestly, he has to appreciate someone who will loudly and immovably take his side over Yue Qingyuan's in peak lord meetings sometimes. Not all the time. Definitely not every single time. But at least it proves Shen Qingqiu is actually listening to him in meetings. Sure, maybe Shen Qingqiu just steps up to bat randomly because he wants an excuse to hit Yue Qingyuan with it. That's a possibility. But who doesn't feel like that sometimes, honestly? Totally understandable. Shang Chenghua may or may not still be nursing his own grudge over Big Bro's bouts of condescending concern. Yeah, sure, the man needs to be relatively impartial and cautious and diplomatic compared to the rest of them, but holy shit, does it sting to face that kindly disbelieving and gently patronizing expression and realizing, oh yeah, right, you're not really in my corner, are you? I knew that. Fuck. Right. My mistake, bro. That's on me. I shouldn't have had expectations. So anyway, Shang Chenghua doesn't really know what to do over the fact that Shen Qingqiu's health is apparently waning again. This wasn't in Proud Immortal Demon way. Well, he made lots of statements that implied that scum villain's cultivation wasn't the best that it could be. It was fuel for Shen Qingqiu's raging jealousy and envy. Lots of statements hinting at how a difficult ascension had turned Shen Qingqiu bitter and cruel, which were, of course, promptly buried again rather than have the protagonist come up against anything. Stallion novel fans forbid, dimensional while taking his revenge. So it looks like the system might have been working off airplane shooting towards the skies, stupid fucking implications again, when realizing the man. Mushudi, I don't know about this, Shang Qinghua says finally. You've made miracles happen before, Mu Qingfeng says, folding that compliment into an exhaustedly delivered challenge. This isn't that. No, Shang Qinghua agrees, looking over the list again. You need all of these? I need to replace his cultivation system, Mu Qingfeng says, and wow, exhaustion makes good old Mu Shidi blunt as fuck, apparently. But I can't. These have been some of the most successful treatments over the years. Shang Qinghua thinks that might actually be possible, though he'd have to do some research and smack his head until his author god memories hopped into line. He thinks that the youth restoration procedure would probably do the job, but he also thinks that Shen Qingqiu would probably rather be dead than be physically 16 again or something. Super fucking understandable. And have to start the cultivation process over from scratch. Ah, that would be so annoying and embarrassing. Ah, well, I'll do my best, Shang Qinghua promises. He's going to assume that his sect leader will essentially write him a blank check for these medical supplies, all of which he's gotten his hands on for Mu Qingfeng and Qian Xiaopik before. Shang Qinghua isn't unwilling, he's just uncertain. He doesn't know if it will really make a difference, especially when Shen Qingqiu is probably destined to pull through. But it would look really asshole-ish if Shang Qinghua made a shaky hand gesture right now and said, he'll probably be fine. Do we really have to spend the money and put in the effort? Can't Shen Shuxiang just walk it off? Although, he can't really bring himself to trust that the shitty, no-good scheming system has this handled. Shang Qinghua doesn't trust like that. He still remembers the way it used to shriek at him about the young protagonist getting killed, even though it pulled strings to prevent that back during the House of Rejuvenation mess. There's only so much the system can do without things looking suspicious as fuck. There's reasonable coincidence, and then there's that's an act of God, you can't fucking fool me, shit. And if the protagonist can be in genuine danger of taking out the story, then anyone and everything is at very real risk. Mu Qingfeng leaves, and Shang Qinghua keeps thinking about this twisty-turny problem for the rest of the day. He's still thinking about it. At least how he's going to squeeze rare supplies out of some of his slimier contacts without getting too much of their slime on his hands when he goes down to visit Luo Jiahui. It's just him and his sister-in-law today. Liu Qingge is away on a mission of some kind. Binghe managed to get to Anding Peak for a visit last month, where Luo Jiahui came to meet him. But he's still pretty much confined to the sect. There's no reason Fan Li can't be here, as far as Shang Qinghua knows, but he's not surprised she's not. It's a little strange, it just being the two of them. They've pretty much always had the buffer of Binghe nearby or a friend of the family between them. Luo Jiahui seems a little anxious about the empty spaces at the table, but she fills the space as best she can by chattering about assorted restaurant businesses. At least until she abruptly takes a deep breath and says, Hua Ge, I have something to tell you. Shang Qinghua freezes in the middle of taking a drink. His unhelpful brain immediately races to guess the worst possible conversation subjects. His sister-in-law has somehow figured out he's a transmigrator. His sister-in-law has decided that her son is not going to the demon realm under any circumstances. His sister-in-law knows Bingha better than he does and has realized the young protagonist is being abused after all. Oh, fuck. What is it? I'm getting married, Luo Jiahui announces, breathlessly. Oh, Zhang Qinghua says, heart rate going at the speed of sound. Wait, what? Well, you know that I wasn't interested in looking for a partner when I had Bingha to look after, Luo Jiahui explains earnestly. He's the most important person in my life. Zhang Qinghua nods slowly. Yes, of course. And even when Bingha was getting older and started wanting to be a little more independent, suddenly there was Fun Li to look after too. You didn't have any time for yourself, Zhang Qinghua agrees. Following this conversation, of very obvious things that he already knew so far. He didn't have any time for himself back then either. Between organizing a conference and finding a cure on top of the usual day in, day out of the sect. You did a really good job looking after them all by yourself. They don't always agree with that, Luo Jiahui says, smiling but self-deprecating. Ah, well, they're young. The disagreements of what was best for the children is why Zhang Qinghua really had to get Fun Li, who didn't see herself as a child, out of the house by any means necessary. He was a bit at a loss at how else to help. She was never part of Proud Immortal Demon Way, not even as a fragment of backstory mentioned in passing. Zhang Qinghua struggles to compensate for these extra people who were never characters sometimes. Qinghua was very understanding, Luo Jiahui says. But, well, then Fun Li was gone, and I had the restaurant keeping me busy. But that was all my own choice, and what good was waiting really doing us? It didn't have to be everything or nothing. So we talked about what we wanted, and what we were afraid of, and we decided to go forward slowly. Zhang Qinghua nods again, because he knew that. He saw all the hand-holding and the smiling and the warm-eyed looks. Hard to miss it. He saw all that and also saw Luo Jiahui looking at him nervously, clearly worried that he was going to be weird about it. So he smiled back and gave her an approving gesture. Once, he even gave her a wink when he was pretty sure that Liu Qinghua had stayed the night at her house, and she turned bright fucking pink. Adorable. But he didn't know that they were this far along. Sure, it's been... Holy shit, it's been years now. Fuck, he's old. But when did they get to the marrying stage of things? He might have expected Luo Jiahui's hands to be white-knuckled around a cup of tea or the table edge, but she's surprisingly relaxed now. Either I trusted Qinghua to try to be a partner or I didn't. Bingha likes him and he's been such a help with Fun Li. Having an extra person in my life isn't... It's not really easier, but it's not really harder either. I like the time we spend together and having someone who likes spending time with me. That makes sense, Zhang Qinghua manages. That's really good. I had lots of doubts, Luo Jiahui says next, like she's rushing to reassure him. What if he judged the things I'd done? What if he took up too much of my time when I had Bingha and Fun Li and the restaurant to look after? What if he decided that he didn't like how much time you and I spend together? Zhang Qinghua remembers that time he told Liu Qinghua one of the reasons he wanted to keep his relationship with Luo Jiahui private is because people would inevitably think that she's his mistress and Bingha is his bastard son. Good old Liu Shidi was very understanding, and Zhang Qinghua then poked a bit for what Liu Qinghua thought of that. The man just shrugged and said, "People are idiots." Not wrong and not unappreciated, but very underwhelming. And did I really want to try and have a relationship when I'm no one and he's him? Luo Jiahui goes on. Wouldn't he see sooner or later that he's just so much better than I am? Hey, he's lucky you're considering marrying him. That's what he said. And he said he didn't care about what other people said. I said that's easy for him to say when he'd never had everyone turn on him and say nasty things and refuse to even look at me like I was too dirty for even that. Xiangqing Hua reaches across the table for her hand immediately, and she takes it like a lifeline. Does he know? He asks quietly. About? Luo Jiahui nods, wiping at her eyes with her free hand. I told him. I told him that you knew the man who hurt me, so that's why you helped me. He knows I never married your brother.
Wow, Liu Shidi, you bastard, you never said shit,
Xiangqing Hua thinks. And? He said that he was sorry that happened to me, but that it didn't change his feelings at all, Luo Jiahui says, smiling through her teary eyes, and that he'd fight anyone who said a word against me.
Aha, that sounds like him.
According to Luo Jiahui, if the worst happens and everyone learns about her past, then Liu Qingge is prepared to deal with it with her, and to begrudgingly refrain from going on an extremely one-sided ass-kicking spree. Anyone who behaves badly aren't the people he thought they were, and he doesn't care what they have to say. And that's that. Liu Qingge intends to live his life for himself, not for other people's ideas of who he is.
Okay, maybe not such a bastard, Xiangqing Hua thinks reluctantly.
Even then, I still didn't know if I wanted to tie my life to someone who seems very determined to cut theirs short, Luo Jiahui explains next. But he promised not to take undue risks and make sure that he has support and to regularly see someone. That he's survived so much means that he needs more medical care, not less. He needs to consider all of the people who care about him when he's living his life for himself. And he agreed. He's doing better these days, isn't he?
Holy shit. In hindsight? Actually, yes. Xiangqing Hua thought that was just a lucky and totally accidental side effect of Liu Qingge spending more time around the Luo sisters. But they actually talked it out? Wow. Maybe he should just leave saving Liu Qingge's life up to his sister-in-law, because it sounds like she's already taking care of it.
Xiangqing Hua agrees. Good old Liu Shidi has been better.
Ah, this is why Liu Qingge was so protective over Binghe. This is why the Baichan war god is finally thinking about personal disciples. This is what happens when people start to settle down, right? They get all clucky.
It really seems like Jiahui and Liu Qingge have worked everything out. They've actually thought at this through like adults. They've had all, or nearly all, of the difficult conversations. Luo Jiahui says that Liu Qingge still doesn't know about the demon thing, though. They've compromised and cooperated and come to an agreement. And Xiangqing Hua really didn't notice they'd gotten this far with everything. They've been so weirdly normal about it.
He says as much to Luo Jiahui.
He'd kind of figured, at this point, if they were going to do anything, it would maybe be after the whole upcoming mess of the plot. But Luo Jiahui and Liu Qingge don't know about the plot, do they? All they know is that Luo Binghe is out of the house and growing up. Now is as good a time as any to tie the knot.
But where's the passion? The drama? Where's the excitement?
No offense to either his sister-in-law or his junior martial brother, but aren't love stories supposed to be more fiery?
When I was younger, I thought that falling in love was supposed to be all excitement and passion, and not being able to live without someone, even for a second, Luo Jiahui admits a little wistfully. I thought that it was supposed to be thinking about them all the time, not being able to stay away from each other, and needing to know what they'd been doing every second they were away. It was like becoming a completely different person. I thought that being in love was about one of us getting horribly jealous every time we talked to someone else, doing things I didn't really understand, and changing myself just to keep him happy, and keeping secrets and sneaking around just to keep things from exploding. Because love is not being able to help yourself like that, right? It hurts, but it's worth it, right? Zhang Qinghua can't really manage to speak right now. It's like someone has cut his fucking throat. Which is fine. But that ended really badly for me, Luo Jiahui says, with a nervous huff at her own understatement. It was very exciting, but looking back, being in that kind of love was also very frightening sometimes. And it was a little lonely, too, being in love with someone I couldn't really talk to or trust. Zhang Qinghua and Luo Jiahui don't really talk about her former lover. Fun Li probably knows more about that romance than he does. At least if the extremely frustrated and embarrassed teenager comments his little sister-in-law has occasionally shot at Luo Jiahui during arguments are anything to go by. Luo Jiahui seems to blame herself, at least a little bit, for getting caught up in some asshole's games. I didn't really know what to do when Qingge wasn't like that. For a long time, I thought it meant he wasn't interested or didn't really care, Luo Jiahui says, that he was just being kind. It wasn't unexciting, but it wasn't all-encompassing. It wasn't like the stuff of stories at all. It was just nice. He's there when I need him, but he trusts me to take care of myself too, and he doesn't want to change who I am. I don't have to be the happiest and most selfless version of myself for him, and he doesn't get angry when I can't pay attention to him. I never doubt that he likes me or wants to spend time with me, because he tells me so, and he never does anything to make me think that he doesn't. The first time we fought, after he'd nearly died fighting some stupid monster, when I was really angry at him and he got angry at me, I thought that was the end of it when he stormed off. Everything was over. That was it for us. But then he came back and he apologized to me. He was sorry that he'd hurt me and he promised he would try not to do it again. For a moment, I had no idea what to do. Luo Jiahui squeezes Zhang Qinghua's hand and smiles at him. Last time I was in love, when it got hard, I kept telling myself it would get better eventually. If I just waited and stayed strong, then the hurt would all be worth it. This time, it's easy to think that I could spend the rest of my life like this. What else can Zhang Qinghua do but be happy for her? He is happy for her, of course. He's just a little sad, too, maybe. He'd always known that it wasn't going to be her and him and Bingha forever. Why is he suddenly getting blindsided by people getting married? Well, probably because people didn't actually have lives like this in the story called Proud Immortal Demon Way. Also, holy shit! If Liu Qingge makes his sister a widow, Zhang Qinghua will find a way to resurrect the guy just to kill him again. Good old Liu should, he better not. Everything is happy. Fuck, the passage of time is real and people around me aren't paralyzed by the plot hanging over their heads. Time. Until Zhang Qinghua mentions that he's surprised Liu Qingge isn't here. Sure, the guy is off on a mission or something. Maybe Luo Jiahui was too excited to keep the news a secret and wait for his return. But Zhang Qinghua kind of pictured Luo Jiahui and Liu Qingge sitting him down together. He guesses, so far as he pictured this life-changing event happening at all. Qingge is telling his parents the news, Luo Jiahui says. Oh, okay, Zhang Qinghua says. And then he thinks, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck, no. But Luo Jiahui is already looking at him with a pleading expression, like she can read his thoughts, now on top of his emotions. Like she'll be lost without him, like he's her only hope. Shang Qinghua is technically the head of their little family, after all. Instincts from years of Anding Peak's bullshit informs him, before Luo Jiahui even admits it, that his beloved sister-in-law has just signed him up for doing her wedding planning with Madame Liu. Fuck! He almost tries to convince his sister-in-law to just live in sin or something, so that he doesn't have to do that. But Luo Jiahui, well, she deserves the reassurance of marriage if she wants it after her last experience with love. Fuck! Luo Bingha apparently already knew that his mother was considering marriage and essentially gave her his blessing to pop the question to Liu Qingge. Jiahui tells Shang Qinghua as much when he asks who's supposed to tell Bingha about this. Traitorous nephew, wicked, lying, scheming nephew, Bingha never said a word. So Shang Qinghua is allowed to stumble over to Qingqing Peak and share the good news that he knows now too. Shen Qingqiu isn't present to tell Shang Qinghua to get the fuck off his mountain or anything. The young protagonist is pleased for his mother. He's still, by all appearances, doing well for himself. He promises that if he can't gain permission to visit Sanjiao Town to congratulate her, then he'll at least make the wedding itself at all costs. Shang Qinghua takes a minute to think about the fact that the cruelest thing that the scum villain of Proud Immortal Demon Wei might do to the protagonist in this world is prevent him from attending his mother's wedding. And or maybe punish him for sneaking off to attend his mother's wedding. It's a really weird thought. Very underwhelming. He really can't express how much he didn't think things would turn out like this when he made the spur-of-the-moment choice to change the story all of those years ago. The first person he tells himself is, weirdly enough, Qi Qingqi. Liu Qingge apparently already told both Liu Mingyan and Luo Fanli before he left, so Shang Qinghua heads over to see how the girls are handling it. Also, he wants to pump Liu Mingyan for information on her mother's opinions on weddings and marriage in a really pathetic attempt to ready himself for the rumble. He makes Qi Qingqi agree to keep the information to herself before telling. And she does. Like a bro. And then he tells, and she laughs in his fucking face. Eventually, she realizes that he's looking for sympathy. He's not just here to let her enjoy his suffering. As a form of payment after everything he and Liu Qingge have inflicted on her. Then she laughs at him again, even louder. Sure, he'd laugh too if he was in her shoes, but not to her face. Rude! She makes it up to him by handing over an unmarked booklet she apparently confiscated from some of her disciples. Shang Qinghua is deeply unnerved by how intently she watches him as he opens the booklet, which is a short story? Well, he knows that Qi Qingqi has book clubs, so maybe this is a recommendation. Holy shit, this is about his sister-in-law and junior martial brother. What the fuck? Shang Qinghua flips quickly through the pages and skims. It's clearly a love story. The quality is, probably fine. Definitely inclined towards fanciful prose and dramatic language and artistic liberty. For one thing, Shang Qinghua has never seen his sister-in-law swoon, ever. Much less so at the sight of blood. She's a fucking cook. She butchers shit all the time. She's good with knives. Also, flowery implications. There are extremely flowery but plausibly deniable implications everywhere. Wow! It's actually not bad from what he can tell just flipping. Clearly amateur work, but he's totally read way worse. Although, maybe that's not saying much. The worst things he's ever read are really bad. His main issue with it is that whoever wrote this has apparently been to his sister-in-law's house, which really narrows down the list of potential authors. Xiang Qinghua sees his own name in this and kind of feels like he wants to die. Holy shit. Xiang Qinghua looks back up at Qi Qingqi. Qi Qingqi grimaces. Are there more of these? Xiang Qinghua asks, full of dread. Not to my knowledge, Qi Qingqi says, in a tone that suggests she came very close to holding disciples up by their ankles and shaking. Something that is so fucking tempting sometimes, really. Sometimes Xiang Qinghua comes really, really close to revoking pocket privileges from the brats he calls disciples. Well, that's a relief. The relief does nothing against the slightly soul-crushing, bewildering realization of, holy shit, I have to give my sister-in-law's fiancé's teenage sister a very serious cultivation-setting version of the internet safety and privacy talk in regards to real-person fiction, which could be very dangerous for our family. These are really, really not the problems that Xiang Qinghua thought he would be having. Every day is a new and often exhausting surprise with these children. Qi Qingqi's lips twitch. She's clearly restraining herself, and Xiang Qinghua can't hold back slightly hysterical laughter any longer. She's right. It's really pretty hilarious. Liu Mingyan is a budding real-person fiction writer. Who knew? Xiang Qinghua expected, this time last year, to be laser-focused on the plot. His attention was not going to stray even a little bit, he promised himself. He was going to be 100% dedicated to making sure that everyone he tripped into caring about made it through the least shitty version of Proud Immortal Demon Way possible. He was going to be a machine of a transmigrator. No distractions. All he wanted was for his family to make it through the quickest, least shitty, bare bones of the plot, and he was going to achieve, damn it. Instead, he finds himself planning his sister-in-law's wedding, and it eats up time he didn't fucking know he had to give. Immortal Alliance Conference, eat your fucking heart out. Chong Chong Mountain Sect? Did he work there? Nope. He's never heard of the place. He's the peak lord of wedding planning now. He's exaggerating. It's really not that bad. It's not really bad at all, surprisingly. As far as surprise time-consuming commitments go, for someone who is already super busy trying to hold a major cultivation sect together and serve a powerful demon lord in secret. Sure, Longsheng Peak gets a small insect infestation, and Zuishan Peak finds one of their cultivators trying to run a side hustle by selling off their shit, and one of Kuxing Peak's training grounds gets trampled when some idiot decides to borrow a beast from Shijiao Peak for a demonstration. A demonstration of what not to do when teaching. Then Xianshu Peak has a repeating problem with cheaply dyed articles in their laundry. Qiangding Peak's main disciple housing building gets its roof mysteriously knocked in. Baichan Peak has an invasive plant issue thanks to some asshole accidentally bringing back its seeds. And one of Qianqiao Peak's vaults nearly gets ruined by a single cursed jar. But that's just business as usual, more or less, at Qiangqiang Mountain Sect. Baby shit, really. His disciples are big enough to handle a lot of it these days. The months fly by distressingly quickly. Xiang Qinghua stresses out over Madame Liu finally meeting Luo Jiahui in person for no reason, apparently. It takes Madame Liu only one cup of tea to, unfairly but correctly, unequivocally decide that Xiang Qinghua's sister-in-law has done nothing wrong ever in her life and that she loves her future daughter-in-law unconditionally. Zhang Chenghua thinks that Liu Qingge actually prepared his mother and fiancé to meet each other. The man actually made the effort. Good job, bro. Zhang Chenghua guesses that the dealmaker was probably Luo Jiahui, talking Liu Qingge into looking after his health.
He needs to set a good example for Fan Li, Luo Jiahui explained to Zhang Chenghua.
Given all of Madame Liu's usual pointed comments about her reckless son doing his best to break his mother's heart. Madame Liu and her husband, also a cultivator, also seem pleased by the additions of an extra daughter-in-law of sorts, Fan Li, and a grandson, Bing He. It's a free extra family. Liu Qingge's father is an extremely quiet man, the youngest son of a youngest son from some influential family, whose great passion in life seems to be the study of monsters, specifically birds. Nice man. Very strange. Zhang Chenghua learns that Liu Qingge got his habit of disappearing into the wilderness from his birdwatcher father. At the wedding itself, Fan Li tells her sister's new father-in-law that Bing He is also very into birds, and Zhang Qinghua's nephew spends a good chunk of the rest of the celebrations, and his precious time away from Qingjing Peak, held hostage by his own politeness, listening to his new adoptive grandfather earnestly tell him about the various migration habits of demonic birds. Well, better him than Zhang Qinghua, honestly. Zhang Qinghua is too busy keeping an eye on Luo Fan Li and being not talked to by Liu Mingyan, who is 18-ish years old now, he thinks, and still deeply embarrassed by the fact that he told her off for her real person fiction. He doesn't want to discourage her passion for writing. She's pretty good for a kid. It's pretty cute. Everyone needs their escapist hobbies. He just doesn't want identifying information about his family being spread around freely. Even if the characterizations of the couple are, wildly reimagined. And he doesn't want to have to spend his very valuable time keeping a lookout for more illicit fiction. It's difficult to read her expression through the ever-present veil, but yeah, she's still super pissed off at him for that talk. Ugh, teenagers. Bing He is not allowed to bring several hundred nieces-in-law into Zhang Qinghua's life. Just no. Fuck no. He doesn't even get a date to commiserate about this with. It's a very small wedding. Family only. Luo Jiahui's shitty parents don't count, and her older brother was forced to decline the invitation. So that Luo Jiahui and Liu Qingge can keep their privacy. Madame Liu huffed about it. The battles and talking her down were both great and terrible, but her son stood his ground. Sure, people might whine someday about not being invited, but the great thing about Liu Qingge is that they can more or less just say, well, we couldn't stop him from doing whatever he wanted, and people will just have to take that, unless they want to claim they could take on the Baichan war god. The worst part of the wedding planning was Madame Liu wanting everything to be absolutely perfect for her son, combined with Luo Binghe wanting everything to be absolutely perfect for his mother. They're both very opinionated people. Every other day, it felt like Luo Binghe was sneaking over to Anding Peak to consult on the latest developments. And so Luo Fan Li kept on showing up because she didn't want to be left out of knowing what was going on. Zhang Qinghua had no idea his headstrong nephew had so many opinions on weddings. The fact that Liu Qingge probably wouldn't fucking care if the only red on his person when he got married was blood, and that Luo Jiahui would probably spend the entire day only stressing about the food, barely paying attention to anything else, didn't seem to matter to them. Unhelpful and irrelevant information. What did the bride and groom's opinions matter in a wedding? Luo Binghe really isn't jealous over the fact that his beloved mother is getting married, which Zhang Qinghua was briefly worried about. He's excited for her. He confided to Zhang Qinghua
that he was glad that his mother was going to have someone else to focus on. He likes Liu Qingge, and Liu Qingge has been hanging over their family for as long as Bingha can remember. But the wedding decorations? He'll fight Madame Liu over that, apparently. The wedding itself is lovely. It's happy. It's sweet. There is no drama whatsoever. No one breaks down the Liu estate's doors to interfere in the couple's happiness. Luo Jiahui looks so happy she could burst with it. Shang Qinghua has never seen Liu Qingge looking this content with the world in his life. There may or may not be some crying. Shang Qinghua will deny everything. It totally feels like this is a natural, inevitable development, and that everyone is just going to keep on living their lives after this.
Shang Qinghua is not expecting, soon after returning from his sister-in-law's happy and long-awaited wedding, to be solemnly informed that Shun Qingqiu's health has only really deteriorated these past months. Wow, that's a huge downer. Also, he already knew that? He's been getting Mu Qingfang all the right supplies to treat their Shixiang. He didn't actually abandon his duties to the sect for a family wedding. He knew that Shun Qingqiu had fallen sufficiently ill to need tending on Tian Chao Peak in the past month, and Shang Qinghua considered it, well, he considered it convenient timing in regards to Bingha's permission to attend his mother's wedding, not being randomly revoked. Cold-hearted? Maybe. But he had lots of other things to worry about at the time, like informing Mo Beijun that his sister-in-law was getting married and so he'd be away for a little while to attend the wedding. Then, Shang Qinghua is told that Shun Qingqiu is not expected to improve this time. Oh shit, they really think he's dying, Shang Qinghua realizes. This really wasn't in Proud Immortal Demon Way. Bro, be real with me right now. Is Shun Qingqiu dying? Shang Qinghua asks. Current projections suggest death is imminent. Shang Qinghua really feels that his shitty no-good system should have warned him that this was happening. He really doesn't know how to feel about this. Besides, badly. But bad is a very broad and very vague category. Is he supposed to be jumping up and rushing off to fix this before he gets landed with some undeserved consequences? Don't you need him for the Eternal Abyss scene? If Shang Qinghua had to pick the two characters absolutely crucial to the story of Proud Immortal Demon Way, it would probably be Luo Bingha and Shun Qingqiu. Shun Qingqiu is formative. The scum villain isn't really acting like a scum villain at all right now, sure, but does he not have a role in this changed story at all now? The character of Shun Qingqiu is required. But you just said he's dying, bro. Shang Qinghua nearly cries. Is there a plan for that? Should I be doing something here? Can a character still fulfill a formative and dynamic role in the story even if they've passed away? System! Shang Qinghua is so fucking lost. He doesn't like this at all. Character instability has been accommodated. What the fuck does that mean? The system won't really elaborate on what the fuck that means. The system doesn't even have the decency to promise Shang Qinghua that he won't be on the receiving end of some nasty consequences if Shun fucking Qingqiu takes himself out of the story because he's too fucking spiteful to live. The loss of this person is a pretty big deviation from the plot. That's a lot of extra ripples that a transmigrator struggling to keep his head above water doesn't need in his life. Shang Qinghua really can't trust that the system has it all handled. He goes to visit Chen Chao Peak to talk to Mu Qingfang about what can be done. He even hands over a couple of the miracle cure plot devices that he's been keeping in personal storage, though he thinks they might have an equally high chance of finishing off someone in a fragile state as helping a little bit. Mu Qingfang kind of looks at the offerings like, "Thanks, but what the fuck am I honestly supposed to do with these?" Somehow, this turns into Shang Qinghua actually visiting the patient. Shen Qingqiu is being kept in a private, dimly lit room in the main healing halls on Chen Chao Peak, clearly intended for someone important, with a nice bed and the amount of space for visitors to gather around it. The room is empty at the moment, though Shang Qinghua is aware that not too far down the hall, two young women are talking quietly. Mu Qingfang's head disciple and that unobtrusive cultivator from Qingjing Peak always hanging around Shen Qingqiu these days. Shen Qingqiu looks like he's sleeping when Shang Qinghua enters the private room. He's pale and too thin, and his rest looks painful rather than peaceful. Shang Qinghua has no idea what to do. He probably could have done something about this, but he didn't. He just let it happen. It turns out that Shen Qingqiu isn't asleep.
"Are you here about the boy?"
Shen Qingqiu's voice is low, raspy, and has a definite note of poison, informing Shang Qinghua that his presence is not fucking welcome. His eyes, when he opens them, have that same note.
No, Shang Qinghua answers. "Why ask me about my own student?"
Shen Qingqiu says, almost agreeable. "There's no need, with all of the unsolicited visitors dropping in for no reason but to look for him. There's no need when your people have been spying on Qingjing Peak ever since the boy arrived." It's possible that Liu Qingge and Luo Fanli have not done a great job of minding their own fucking business. Shang Qinghua has been impressed with their personal progress, but he's not surprised Shen Qingqiu is not impressed. Shang Qinghua was kind of hoping that any curiosity on the part of Anding Peak cultivators would be put down to the burning urge to gossip. But Shen Qingqiu noticed anyway, that's not too surprising.
"Even our sect leader occasionally asks about the boy and his progress,"
Shen Qingqiu rasps, his voice turning more and more accusing.
"He's so very concerned about the boy. We can't have such a beloved child crying to his devoted family that he's been mistreated or neglected, can we? How flattering these assumptions are. It makes a man wonder what, exactly, people think he's going to do to the boy."
Shang Qinghua might have an itemized list somewhere, honestly.
I can't speak for anyone else," Shang Qinghua says finally. "But please don't take it personally, Shen Xixiang. I don't really trust anyone. Anything can happen behind a locked door, you know?"
Some honest cynicism can go over well with the man. Shen Qingqiu laughs bitterly now.
"It's almost tempting to do something, just to see what you would all do if I proved you right after all."
The man sneers. Wow, he really must be dying if he's going to outright say something like that. That would be a super alarming statement, but Shen Qingqiu looks exhausted more than anything else.
"As though I don't have far better things to do with my time," he says. "Far worthier battles."
"Your head disciple for that batch is a bully sometimes," Shang Qinghua offers in a really pathetic, "well, it's not just you" gesture. "I know I don't have to tell you that peak politics are a pain in the neck."
"They should be cutting each other's throats on Qingjing around now,"
Shen Qing Chu muses. If I was a better man, I might wish you good fortune with the mess they will make of the work stripped from me. At least I know my most important work is in safe hands with one of my disciples.
Thanks for the fleeting consideration.
Yeah, Shang Qinghua really isn't looking forward to whatever the fuck is going to happen to Qingjing Peak. It'll work out eventually, but it's going to be a hot fucking mess first. He thinks that Chongding Peak and Xianshu Peak have most of Shen Qingchu's work at the moment, while Qingjing Peak manages itself without a master. Bing He said something about increasing underlying tension on Qingjing Peak.
I cannot inform you of current events if that's why you've come. I have been consigned to being ornamental for the sake of my health,
Shen Qingchu says disgustedly.
My arguments that I should be permitted to spend my remaining strength as I see fit have been summarily ignored, though I have ignored that and made the most important arrangements already. I have not even seen your boy in weeks.
I have disciples for that, Zhang Qinghua says awkwardly. I came to apologize for not visiting sooner. I really thought you'd be up again in no time. Is there anything I can get you? It's a spontaneous offer. The man really looks like shit, and getting things for people is what Zhang Qinghua does. It's the main thing that he does. Shen Qingchu thinks about it, the silence stretching between them.
No,
Shen Qingchu says finally, bitterly defeated.
Years of this weakness have given the nodding heads and flopping mouths enough ammunition against me. Our martial siblings' own set of distrust and dislike only gives them more. They see so little. And only what they wish of what they do see. Nothing I've done in service to the sect or to this realm means anything in the end. Nothing can be done to make this humiliation sting any less.
I can make anyone who tries to claim that they knew you well regret it.
Shen Qingchu laughs bitterly again. Please. If our esteemed sect leader tries to make a martyr of me, have the brute punch him in the face.
Yeah, Shang Qinghua doesn't think Liu Qingge would go in for that.
I would rather they paint me as the worst villain this sect has ever seen,
Shen Qingchu says, like a man determined not to give a shit anymore. A man determined to appear done with everything.
A man visits a few brothels for some peace and quiet, and it's apparently going to be the end of the sect. Like that's the worst thing I've done in my life. Like it's anything compared to what's out there.
Shang Qinghua has a pretty solid label as a coward for being the sole survivor of a massacre as a disciple. The nicer rumors paint him as a victim of a horrible situation. The worst paint him as an underhanded, untrustworthy traitor to the sect's ideals, if not the sect itself. As Shang Qinghua climbed Anding Peak, it was very tempting, sometimes, to look at those people and go, oh, bro, that's not even fucking close to the worst of the shit I've gotten myself into.
At least you understand what it is to have people look at you like you will never be better than they think you are.
Shen Qingchu tells him, commiseration that still sounds slightly like an insult.
Or like you are perfect when you know all your own flaws intimately, so they might as well have made up a person from nothing.
Bro, you really don't need to come for me like this, Shang Qinghua thinks. Shen Qingchu has always been suspicious of him, always giving him that terrifying look like,
I know you're fake, asshole.
But the way that the man is looking at him now? Oh, fuck. Does this mean that they're almost friends? That's sad. That's really fucking sad, honestly. Being interpreted and misinterpreted is life, isn't it? Shang Ching Hua offers. It's a show. It's an infinite number of stories happening all at once. Not so neat as proud immortal demon Wei made it out to be.
Another unbearable part of its sufferings,
Shen Qingqiu says, closing his eyes.
You, at least, knew better than to let your pride lead you into trying to be more than you were meant to be, most of the time.
Ah, that really sounds like an insult. It hits at airplanes shooting towards the sky more than Shang Cheng Hua, though. Looking at this character he designed, who apparently can't actually exist in this world. That's what he's thinking happened now. This is kind of airplane shooting towards the sky's fault, isn't it? He originally wanted the scum villain Shen Qingqiu to be a dimensional, complicated, contradictory character, a broken mirror for the broken protagonist. In a hand-wavy, plot-hole-riddled, continuity-error-filled story that had to cut complexity in favor of quantity of content. The original concept for Shen Qingqiu was a fictional, twisted mess of a man, and the final product ended up being nearly a caricature. When the system realized airplane shooting towards the sky's bullshit, it made an actual semi-functional supernatural world for people to live in. These NPCs don't just wander around randomly until it's time to return to their houses. They have lives. The system had to iron out all their dramatic, face-slapping, power fantasy bullshit into rules. Airplane shooting towards the sky's bullshit, everything he ever published and everything he never published, was mashed together before being expanded and condensed and trimmed and tweaked. Some of it worked. Some of it didn't work at all. Some of it spirals off into new, nightmarish bullshit, which Shang Ching Hua could have never predicted. Some of it creates something that's not wrong, exactly, but totally gives off a completely different vibe to how airplane shooting towards the sky imagined it. So it's turning out now that Shen Qingqiu doesn't actually work in practice. At least, not this asshole of a man given a shitty start in life and set on a shitty path so that he might become both everything airplane shooting towards the sky ever wrote and everything he didn't. The system accidentally set up rules of life that made it so Shen Qingqiu couldn't win the game. He couldn't be everything the system wants him to be. Maybe he can't be a formidable peak lord and an embittered wreck of a man all at once. Maybe it's not sustainable outside of the written page. How else can Shang Ching Hua interpret this? Wow, that's fucked up. This is fucked up, Shang Ching Hua says aloud, because it is. Shen Qingqiu opens his eyes again.
Life is that,
he says, not disagreeing. Has Yue Qingyuan been here? Shen Qingqiu's face immediately twists into a scowl.
He should be lingering somewhere nearby, he answers. He refuses to leave me to die in peace, or to at least let me die in the place of my choice.
What?
I told him I would rather die in a brothel than in his presence,
Shen Qingqiu admits carelessly.
They would have the decency to offer a dying man things a great sect apparently cannot.
Well, there's the obvious, but service with a smile?
Some damn privacy,
Shen Qingqiu says tiredly, closing his eyes again.
Get out if you need to speak with him. I don't want to see him.
Wow, Shang Ching Hua thinks, totally unimpressed. Big bro, Changmen Shixiang, the person you care about most in the world is actually dying. Because I can't design a cultivation system to save my fucking life, and neither can the system, apparently. And you still can't spit out the fucking truth? This really should not have been left to me, of all people, to say,
Zhang Qinghua mutters, but he really feels like he owes Shen Qingqiu something for this. Ah, Shun Shixiang, a person can't help but overhear things over the years and put a few things together, especially a man who doesn't trust easily. Shen Qingqiu doesn't open his eyes. Spit out whatever you think you know if you must. I know about the Qiu estate. Yup, Shen Qingqiu's eyes snap open again for that, searching and slightly wild.
Did our leader tell you that?
Shen Qingqiu demands. No, he doesn't even know I know. Zhang Qinghua says quickly. Zhang Qinghua valiantly ignores the system. It's probably just telling him that he's expanding plot holes again. Well, if he is, that's his choice. Shen Qingqiu barks with humorless laughter.
So much for his no longer having to fear humiliation for his wretched past when I'm no longer an unwanted hanging weight around his neck. All that placation for my silence, and he still failed to keep it hidden. Good.
Ah, wow. Another really bad wow. Yue Qingyuan has really fucked this up so hard that Zhang Qinghua can't regret this. He's put up with this for too long. He really should have said something years ago instead of trying to mind his own business. Yue Qingyuan fucked up earning his sword so hard that he was forced into year-long seclusion to prevent his soul from bleeding out, Zhang Qinghua says bluntly, because he's too tired to figure out how to say this nicely. He was a super impatient disciple, you know? A dangerously strong-willed cornered cutter. People like to joke about that now, because Changmen Shixiang being hasty and reckless when he was young is a funny idea now, right? Shen Qingqiu stares at him with wide eyes. They put out the story that the seclusion was by choice, that the sect leader had offered because of his talent, because it looked really bad for Chengding Peak if everyone knew their most promising disciple was locked up against his will and trying to tear the caves apart to get out. He remembers how people gossiped admiringly about someone so young being granted such a privilege. Truly, it meant that Yue Qingyuan was meant for great things. They all fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. Meanwhile, the lowly future Zhang Qinghua knew the truth and scoffed at the lie. He only felt a little badly, leaving Yue Qingyuan and Shen Qingqiu to the mercy of their canonical backstories so he could look after his own problems. When he finally left the caves, one of the first things he did when no one was looking was run away, Zhang Qinghua continues, feeling almost a little nostalgic at these old sect secrets, all the lies and gossip mongers ate right up. They pretended that it was an official mission, though, because the old sect leader didn't have any students nearly so promising, you know? He was going to bend Yue Qingyuan into shape or break him. Changmen Shixiang was punished when they dragged him back, but he didn't seem to care, walking around like someone had ripped his heart out and he was already dead. Shen Qingqiu remained still and silent. Seclusion could only do so much for his sword, though. The Xuanzu sword still drains his life every time he draws it from its sheath. That's why it's so powerful, Zhang Qinghua adds. I'm not supposed to know that either. It wasn't spread around, but some people still have an idea. You know how the Wantian Peak people gossip. Some of them suspect that the sect leader's special and super famous sword has a steep price. Most things that powerful do. Zhang Qinghua would really like for Shen Qingqiu to say something now. The man just stares at him. Zhang Qinghua doesn't know how to finish this. He could say, I swear I'm not lying. He could say, he really should have told you all of this years ago. What an asshole, huh? He could say, I'm just the messenger here, breaking one broship for the sake of a different broship. So please don't kill me.
Go bring him here.
Shen Qingqiu says, finally. Now.
Yep,
Shang Qinghua says, and practically bolts for the door. Well, if Yue Qingyuan is going to be incapacitated by Shen Qingqiu's death anyway, then Shen Qingqiu might as well get to kill him himself. Mu Qingfang is very, hey, what the fuck did you just do to agitate my patient? As Yue Qingyuan comes running, but Shang Qinghua keeps his lips zipped. It doesn't take a genius to know that Shen Qingqiu willingly being alone with Yue Qingyuan right now means that shit is a little bit fucked. Shen Qingqiu is ice fucking cold, looking dangerously angry as he banishes Shang Qinghua and Mu Qingfang from the room. This is, going to get ugly, Shang Qinghua tells the Qian Tao Peak Lord. Mu Qingfang raises his eyebrows, which is a point. Uglier than usual, I mean, Shang Qinghua says. Just, maybe? Shen Qingqiu opens the conversation by asking if, since he's apparently dying, if there's anything Yue Qingyuan wants to tell him. Anything like a forced seclusion and a sword that spends his life, perhaps? Mu Qingfang, generously allowing Shang Qinghua to eavesdrop with him, looks at Shang Qinghua like, you couldn't have fucking warned me you were going to do this to me? Which is totally fair. Except Shang Qinghua didn't know he was going to do this to his martial brother, whom he's guessing knows about the super-secret Xuanzu sword problem in his position as the head healer of their sect. Shang Qinghua really didn't plan this at all. The conversation doesn't really get better from there. Shen Qingqiu is furious, but in a terrifyingly calm way, at least until he just starts shouting over Yue Qingyuan's hoarse apologies in order to be heard. Shang Qinghua at least gets to see Mu Qingfang's face journey as Shen Qingqiu accuses their sect leader of letting him think that he'd left him to die. As Shen Qingqiu yells about being treated like an unwanted ghost, as a potential blackmailer, as an embarrassing disappointment, as a petty troublemaker, as a spoiled child, as a problem to be solved, and as the last blemish on Yue Qingyuan's reputation. Anything but as someone worthy of being trusted with Yue Qingyuan's problems and of being treated like an equal. Yue Qingyuan tries to explain that he didn't think Shen Qingqiu wanted to hear his excuses, and Shen Qingqiu shoots back that he would rather fucking die than beg the man he thought had forgotten about him to explain when exactly he became not worth rescuing as soon as possible. Yue Qingyuan tries to explain that he didn't want Shen Qingqiu's pity or to force the man to be grateful that he'd tried. Shen Qingqiu tells the man to go fuck himself. How could it not hurt for someone he loved to hurt him and then just move past the hurt like the pain wasn't who they were? All the world could revile me, reject me, leave me to die, and I would pay their hatred no heed. What do they truly know of what I am, of who I am? Shen Qingqiu demands. But if Qiga could throw me away, decide that I wasn't worth the trouble anymore, now that he'd had a taste of a better life, then I really must be wretched beyond all things at the root. If he believed it, then it had to be true. Mu Qingfang is clearly itching to put a stop to this, but this isn't a conversation that has a good stopping place. Shang Qinghua moves to the other side of the room, just so that he doesn't have to listen to the sound of their sect leader crying anymore. Holy shit! That's really not a sound he ever expected to hear. He should have done something about this years ago. Fuck, he's probably the worst person in the world. He's thought about it before, and right now he feels like he's getting pretty close to, I need to puke my guts up in an alleyway in a pathetic attempt to purge myself of feeling like shit territory again.
He was hoping that they would break first. It looks like Shen Qingqiu broke in the wrong way.
Mu Qingfeng!
Yue Qingyuan shouts. Shang Qinghua turns around to see the Chen Qiao Peak Lord vanish into the room.
That really can't be good.
Shang Qinghua doesn't have the strength of heart to follow. He's done enough damage as it is. Mu Qingfeng shouts for Shang Qinghua to fetch his head disciple, and Shang Qinghua goes, glad to let his feet take him away from this fuck-up. He gets Mu Qingfeng's head disciple in the next room over, who jumps into action, sending a cascade of orders through Chen Qiao Peak, which is great. They know what they're doing. Great! But this leaves Shang Qinghua helplessly extraneous. He rubs his head, trying to relieve some of the tension there, but it's only getting worse. It's not a headache. It almost feels like a headache. Like a headache is the closest thing his brain has to whatever the fuck this is. And then the system nearly takes him off his feet with a blaring warning.
Transmigrator placement process error.
Shang Qinghua has no time to register what the fuck that means before the pop-up window blinks away and another one takes its place.
New mission. Mission importance, mandatory. Penalties for failure. Mission objective, return to Shen Qingqiu.